You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Yes, we are here with Green Party's Catherine Delahunty, who is filling in for James Shaw today. How are you today, Catherine?
Awesome.
That's great to hear. So let's get into it, shall we? The National Party has released a new education policy, which includes putting more emphasis on teaching second languages in schools, providing more support for special needs students, and investing in ultra-fast broadband. Does the Green Party think National are on the right track with this?
If you read their policy, no. They're still on the track of measuring students more in primary school, so it's an assessment model. It's called National Standard Super Plus, and National Standard didn't work, so now they're putting up Super Plus, which is more measuring, and so it's not good. They're talking about how great it is. You can get, I presume, an app on your phone, so you can now find out how your child is progressing at any time of day or night. Well, actually, that's not what parents want. They want to know that their child is happy and that they are in a good school where their learning is progressing at the rate that is natural for that child. So that's one issue that was launched yesterday. Another one was the languages in schools policy. There's nothing wrong with that, except that it should be, the prioritisation should be Te Reo Māori and then sign language. So we have three national languages, and Te Reo Māori, which is not only our national language but also part of our te tiriti obligations, is neglected by the government. We have a great policy, the Greens, that it should be universal to all children up to year 10. We're working on a plan on how many teachers we would need and what capacity we would have to build to achieve that. So it's great for them to talk about languages. Children can choose a language, but the reality is they don't have a national languages policy yet. They don't have a teaching staff capable of teaching all these languages, and they should have put Te Reo Māori first.
Right, so when we're talking about introducing Te Reo Māori in school, the Green Party actually has a policy to put Te Reo Māori up as a compulsory language for up to year 10 students, is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
So it would be compulsory for high school students to be studying that? And
For primary school up to year 10?
Sure.
So, because actually maths and English and writing are all compulsory. Most other countries teach their national language compulsorily. It's not an unusual thing to do. It's just that we're a bit of a monolingual country that hasn't dealt with its history properly and is trying to ignore the fact that the language has nearly been destroyed. And so this won't save the language, but what it will do, and this is after our, we've been talking with teachers' organisations plus Te Reo Māori scholars, is that we'll normalise the language. It will strengthen the language. At the moment, the kids learn some waiata. Some schools do a great job teaching some Māori kupu, Māori words. Kura Kaupapa are underfunded, but they teach everything in the reo, and they need a lot more support. But we want to see all our children having a proper language class until the year 10, so that they actually develop some fluency and some competency in Te Reo. And so government have announced this policy because it's election time. We announced this earlier because we actually really serious about this. They've got no time frames, no plan, no detail. They're just saying, there'll be money for languages, but they haven't talked about how. So, they've got a long way to go.
Right, and since the curriculum is already very packed, and one principal has even said there aren't enough teachers around to teach our rich curriculum and the basics of reading, writing, and maths, do we even have enough resources to upscale our teaching of Te Reo Māori into high school when we have such a dense, hard-to-teach curriculum already?
Well, I don't think it's the curriculum isn't the problem. If you look at the New Zealand curriculum, there is a section on language teaching. So it's already in the curriculum. It's a matter of whether it's a priority or not. And we can make it a priority if we put the resources in, and it'll take us time. So no one's saying that next week everyone can learn Te Reo. Interestingly, Te Tauraferi, the Māori Language Commission, reckoned that by 2020, that five-year-olds could start receiving the instruction in Te Reo. I'm not sure. I think we've got to get a timeline that's probably going to take us 10 years to get it right through to year 10, because we have to build up workforce. We have to come to Te Reo, young people who are fluent in Te Reo, and offer them incentives and scholarships to actually want to become a Te Reo teacher. But it's absolutely doable. It's not like our kids can't learn something new or don't want to learn this. And increasingly, our parents are really supportive, because Learning a language helps all your other subject learning. So it's one of the proven ways in which you actually increase kids' ability to understand how to learn. And it's the natural place to start because this is Aotearoa. So I don't think there's lack of space in the curriculum. I think it's just that because they make teachers spend all their time measuring and assessing kids for national standards, that there hasn't been the creativity and the space to do the kind of things that excite our children. And the whole purpose of learning is for kids to be excited about what they're learning and how it's relevant to their lives and who they are and where they are. And that's something that Te Reo really, really enhances.
Right. Well, talking about national standards, the National Party's policy, as you mentioned before, is including a way for parents to keep track of their children's progress online. And just so the parents can sort of know how their child's doing and adjust their sort of needs, the child's needs accordingly. So you don't believe that parents should have access to how their children are doing online?
Well, they already do. This is why this is all a bit of a beat up. They already do. Like, so my grandson, I can go online with my daughter and have a look at the electronic information about his learning. It's already there in schools. Like, but what the government is saying is that teachers need to do more reporting. Now, actually, the best way to find out how our kids are doing at school is to go along and have a conversation with the teacher and actually ask them how the children are doing. National standards only tell you whether a child is above or below, and more reporting of that nature is going to take up more of the teacher's time. Well, actually, they could be teaching and the kids could be learning. And if you're worried about your child's report that you think you want to investigate further, or you look online and you see how they, you know, what is already there, and you think that's not enough, then there's no problem with going and talking to the teacher about your child's progress. But kids are not robots, and they have to have time, particularly in primary school. It's a learning environment, and they all learn at different rates and have different progress at different rates, and it's really important for the teacher to have time to work with them to progress at that child's rate, rather than to have to be filling in forms. I mean, the NZDI have made the point that more time filling in boxes online about children is time away from teaching.
Right. Well, I remember when I was at high school, my parents didn't quite understand what the grades meant and sort of like what the national average for a merit was. I'd sort of go home and be like, hey, Mom, I got a merit on this. And she'd be like, cool, what does that mean? And So wouldn't having a better understanding for parents to like sort of really know what their child's doing and then sort of be like, okay, my child's lagging behind now, having that understanding, then they can go and talk to the teachers, as you're saying. Wouldn't that be a more beneficial way?
Behind what, though?
Sorry,
behind what? I mean, in primary school, we're not meant to be assessing our children all the time in primary school.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear when you get to NCEA whether you've actually achieved that thing or not. But it's a different model. In primary school, they don't need to... There is no magic moment in which some children are reading fluently by the age of 7. Some children take longer, but it does not mean that they are stupid or actually in trouble. It's actually about looking at each child and having a conversation with the teacher. And actually, boxes and numbers online are not going to help you. What you want to do is my child enjoying school? And when they come home and read me a story, how are they going? And if you're worried about that and you want to check whether that is actually they're progressing, go and talk to the teacher about it. Like, actually, these kids need time to find their own way of learning, and they need to learn through different creative ways. What's disturbing about what's happened to schools because of national standards is they've taken away drama, art, science, math, even some math advisors. So there's a whole lot of stuff missing from the curriculum now. It's been narrowed in many schools, instead of which you've got like charts up on the wall that show where every child is in relation to these very crude measures, which are national standards. You know, a 7-year-old shouldn't be labelled as above or below standard. It's inappropriate. It's got nothing to do with recognising that unique child and their learning. And of course we want our families to understand what's going on, but I think things have got worse in terms of understanding. Looking at the school reports from my day to the school reports of my grandson, it tells you nothing. My daughter's very disappointed.
Well, moving on to tertiary education, the Labour Party has a 3-year free tertiary education policy for students up school, whereas the Green Party's policy says they will be working towards a fee-free education. Do you believe that a fee-free education can just be introduced like Labour has planned, or do you think it needs a slow introduction?
Well, I mean, obviously, if Labour becomes the government and they put up this policy, I can't see us having a problem with that. At the moment, our policies, and I'm not the tertiary spokesperson, but our policy is that you can write off a certain amount of your student loan if you work inside New Zealand. But I personally think that if Labour are prepared to fund that goal, I can't see the Greens being a problem, because you know we actually believe that that's the right direction to go in, and we would like to go into that direction. We just haven't been able to cost it because we don't have access to the Treasury benches. But we think that in the long run, that's the direction we want to go in. In the meantime, let's at least give people some relief in terms of their student loans. So yeah, I mean, let's hope we get we change the government, and then we can start getting serious about tertiary education being accessible to all.
Right, and if we do introduce fee-free education, do you think that graduates should be absolved of their debt as well?
As I'm not the spokesperson, it's tricky for me to talk about that one. But it does seem that we'd have to look at natural justice, wouldn't we? Because
sorry, Catherine, you're just cutting out there. Are you still there? Right, it looks like Catherine has gone.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.